It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important story.
Socialization of transportation, education, energy, housing, and water. What it means is that government controls it through rules and regulations.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
Under this guise of bipartisanship and nonpartisanship, it's actually tapped down the truth.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
On an equal field in the battle of ideas, mistruths or misconceptions, and it is getting us into a world of hurt.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed, let's have a conversation, and welcome to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Thank you to each and every one of you for joining us. I appreciate you immensely. Today, strive for excellence, live with intention, and take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. We have much work to do. It's a new day. We now have new leadership at the Colorado State GOP. It's all women. And I don't really use descriptors typically, but it's kind of cool that it is all women. But I think they're each very, very competent. And so congratulations to Christy Burton Brown for taking over leadership, as well as Priscilla Ron as the vice chair. There were excellent candidates across the spectrum, and thank you to each and every one of them for stepping forward to run. It's not an easy thing to do, and so greatly appreciate that to each and every one of you. Be sure and check out our website. It is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there, and you can email me at Kim@KimMunson.com as well. And I get to work with a great team, and that is producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, and Charlie, and all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. Happy Monday to to you, producer Steve.
There you go again. I can't help thinking that's one of those oxymorons. Happy Monday? Come on.
Well, we have a lot of work to do this week. It's also Holy Week.
Oh, yes.
And,
don't let me drag you down. I mean, I'm glad you're a ray of sunshine, and I try to play along the best I can.
Well, tomorrow's Tuesday, and that's one day closer to the weekend for sure. Are you going to hide Easter eggs this weekend?
We got some plans both Friday and Saturday with the grandkids, and they're growing up some, and all these things that you can do are becoming more and more plausible for us, and it's kind of cool.
Yeah, most definitely. I can't believe that spring is actually here. I can see the tulips are all trying to get through, and it's springtime, and it feels good to have some renewal, Steve. It has been a long year with the whole COVID-19 thing. It's been a long winter, and it's good to see that spring is coming around once again.
Well, speaking of renewal, if I can drag you back a minute or two, what you just said earlier regarding the new leadership for the Republican Party, I was excited when I first got the information, and I guess it's like, man, I really wish there was a way that me personally could go out and listen to these women and find out what is the battle plan. Based on everything that has happened to this state in the last 15, 16 years, going from solidly red now to solidly, purple, blue, what is their battle plan?
I think one of the first and foremost things is election integrity. I know that is something that's important to all the candidates. And what we're just about 18, 19 months out from the next election, and it is coming fast and furious. And I know that there's different things happening around the state regarding election integrity, and I want to work with them as well. I think that we need to, on a county-by-county basis, be working to make sure that each and every county has elections that are free, that they're fair, and that we can trust. And I think that is one of the first and foremost. And then, we had both Christy and Priscilla on. And another thing is to elect and support candidates who support the foundational principles of the American idea that all men are created equal, with these rights from God of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. Because if we get big government, big spending Republicans, it's really no different than big government and maybe just a little bit less, but the effects are the same as big government, big spending Democrats. So we need to elect people that understand that and support them once they get into office, Steve.
I shouldn't volunteer this because you'll turn it around to something volunteer to you're going to do this. But I was sitting around contemplating. I've had a lot of time to contemplate lately, but wondering again, in discussions with other friends and family, when will people fully understand what has happened to us in the last 5 months? At what point will they know, will they see? How will it impact themselves personally? Because I think you and I both agree is that there's far too many people out there that hold this political thing off in a distance somehow and say, well, it really doesn't affect my life. And I just, voted for the guy as the way I would a high school popularity contest.
I am very concerned when you talk about the results of all of this spending and this continued expansion of government. I'm very, very concerned, particularly what we're passing on to the next generation. And we are at a very tenuous time in our country. Rick Turnquist, who's on regularly, said that we are at the pinnacle of human thriving and human flourishing. And you think about how we get to live here in the United States of America. We have freedom of mobility right now, where you can get in your car and go where you want to, when you want to. However, the cost of that has gone up significantly. That little gas station that you and I watch when we come into the station, the price is up about 80 cents, I think, Steve, since Joe Biden took office. Now, that's close to probably 40%, wouldn't you say? Wasn't it around the 2+ range? And it's bumping up around 3 now. That's up 40%. Think what that does for everyday people. Just the money that now they were spending on other things, they're having to spend on their fuel costs, their energy costs to heat their home and go where they want to. And this really affects people on the lower rungs of the economic ladder first. And basically, a lot of that is because of policy. The canceling of the Keystone Pipeline, not allowing new drilling on public lands, and all those things are increasing the cost of energy. And why? You have to ask why. Because those in charge think that everybody should be either riding public transit or bicycles or driving electric cars. And so they are using public policy because that is their dream. And ultimately, it will affect our everyday human flourishing, which breaks my heart, Steve.
I suspect that your guest in the second half of the show will touch on this. And I'm hoping he will, because why not take apart the situation in Texas 3 or 4 weeks ago to see what happened to that state right across the board because of policy? I mean, I've heard situations where they were actually having to buy power off the grid, which is incredibly expensive because none of these other things were going to hold the load. And, who's going to pay for that increased cost of power right off the grid? So, yeah, policy, it's a big stick, and it can hurt.
Well, for sure. And that's why we look at these issues, Steve, is freedom versus force. Force versus freedom. If something is a good idea, you should not have to force people to do that. And we see a lot of force right now, and it's through public policy. But ultimately, force can get physical as well. But that's why if something is a good idea, you shouldn't have to force people. That's why a free and fair market is so important to human flourishing. And as Rick Turnquist has said, there's really see if I can remember them, 3 pillars, and that is limited government, capitalism, and property rights, individual rights. Those things are paramount to everyday people being able to thrive and prosper. In the old days, Steve, here we are, you and I having a conversation over the airways in warm and comfortable circumstances. In the old days, basically, probably you and I would be peasants, and we'd have to be getting our water and finding our fuel and basically just existing. And I don't think that people understand that we need to protect the things that allow this to happen, Steve, and that's why we do this show. Let's get over to our quote for today, because it's very apropos when we're talking with Rob Nadelson in the next segment. We had low-lighted this particular Senate Bill 132. It's being proposed by Carrie Donovan, Senator Carrie Donovan, who apparently she's going to want to challenge, well, she'll have to get through a primary, but would like to be the Democrat challenger to Lauren Boebert. And this is so overreaching. It's a digital communications regulations. Basically, it's shutting down freedom of the press. And so I decided to go, let's talk about freedom of the press and freedom of speech. And Benjamin Franklin, I mean, he's truly nailed it. He was born in 1706. He died in 1790. He was a statesman, author, publisher, scientist, inventor, and diplomat. And he was born into a Boston family of modest means, and he had little formal education. And he went on to start a successful printing business in Philadelphia and grew very wealthy. And he was deeply active in public affairs. And did you know this, that he started one of the very first libraries, Steve?
Well, having in my background, growing up outside of Philadelphia, maybe we were just a little bit more savvy on the accomplishments of Franklin. And yeah, I think I did know that.
Okay. Well, you know, he also served in the Second Continental Congress, and he helped draft the Declaration of Independence. You know, negotiated the 1783 Treaty of Paris that ended the Revolutionary War. And in his final significant act of public service, he was a delegate to the convention that produced the U.S. Constitution. What a remarkable life. And this is what he said. He said, freedom of speech is a principal pillar of a free government. When this support is taken away, the constitution of a free society is dissolved, and tyranny is erected on its ruins. Republics and limited monarchies derive their strength and vigor from a popular examination into the action of the magistrates. Very apropos for what is going on right now in our country, Steve.
Again, it's almost like I hate to use the term because it... ties to other things here going on in here, Colorado, but it seems like a blueprint.
True that. And so this isn't anything new that's going on. Our founders realized the danger of what was happening. And many people in America realize it as well. And that's why it seems like I was listening yesterday to some commentary on Joe Biden. It's like, go big and go fast. And you look at what they have done since he was inaugurated about spending money and taking away our everyday rights. It is astounding. But we're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll talk with Rob Nadelson. But we are an independent voice that continues to search for truth and clarity on these issues. And thank you to each of every one of you who are contributing to keep our independent voice there, as well as I get to work with these great sponsors. And a longtime great sponsor of both of the shows is Hooters Restaurants. And this is March Madness Week, so there's all kinds of specials, whether or not to go or you want to dine in to watch the games. And they said, catch these great deals before they bounce out of here. You buy 10 boneless wings, you get a Big Daddy for $14.99. Buy 15 boneless wings, you get a 64-ounce pitcher for $20.99. And they have to-go specials, buy 20 wings, get 10 wings for free. Go to my website, kimmunson.com, that's M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Click on the sponsor tab, and each and every one of those sponsors that you see there, be sure and do business with them. But click on the Hooters icon, and that'll drop down with all of their specials. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll talk with Rob Nadelson. He has a piece in the Epoch Times regarding this very onerous digital communications bill that was proposed here. We'll be right back.
With the federal government printing money, it looks like inflation is on the horizon. That is why you should lock in a low rate now on your mortgage. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group is here to help. Lauren works with a variety of lenders to assist you in finding the mortgage that is just right for you. Locking in a low rate now will save you thousands of dollars over the life of your loan. Don't procrastinate. Don't wait any longer. Call Lauren today at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there, and you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. I've got on the line with me Rob Nadelson. You know him. He is nationally known as an expert on the U.S. Constitution, the original Constitution, what it said and meant. He actually wrote a book to that effect. But he also is a contributing author to a number of different publications. And he recently had a piece in the Epoch Times regarding this terrible, terrible Senate Bill 21-132, the Digital Communications Regulation. Rob Nadelson, welcome to the show.
It's good to be back. And you know, Kim, it's been a while, so I think there may be some people who don't know me. I just want to give quick background, and that is that I was a law professor for 25 years. I'm best known for my work on the U.S. Constitution, particularly the original meaning. I've been cited by many courts around the land, including justices of the Supreme Court, and I'm currently senior fellow in constitutional jurisprudence at the Independence Institute.
Impressive. You know what you're talking about for sure. Tell us about this Senate Bill 132. When I first saw this, Rob, I about fell off my chair. And certainly it puts in place another commission division of bureaucrats. But basically, it says that if you do digital communications in the state of Colorado, you need to register and pay a fee. And if not, it's actually, you could be fined $5,000 a day, and it is a Class 2 misdemeanor. This is astonishing to me, Rob Nadelson.
Yeah, first let's give credit or discredit where it's due. This bill is sponsored by Carrie Donovan. She's a state senator. In fact, she's in the Democratic leadership. So this is not apparently what passes for a mainstream Democrat today. She represents Vail. At any rate, the bill essentially restores the old censorship regime and licensing regime that the English crown used to have before 1694. Before 1694, if you wanted to publish a book, for example, you had to get approval from the crown. You'd have a censor who would review the book, make sure it was okay, and then would give it a stamp. In fact, I've got some PDFs of books like that because I do a lot of historical research. The abolition of that system of licensing is viewed by constitutional experts, including the Supreme Court, as the true beginning of freedom of the press. And so what this bill would do is actually roll all of that back 327 years to a time when the media, in this case going through the internet, would have to get permission to have a platform, and then would be subject to censorship. And the censorship terms are very broad. It's the usual list of progressive things that they don't like. If they deem it hate speech, then it can be censored. If they deem it undermining election integrity or conspiracy theories, then it can be censored. It's an extraordinary piece of legislation, which actually would be ludicrous if somebody hadn't actually seriously proposed this thing.
Well, and you mentioned something, the left has, it's been, I think, a war of language, a war of narratives. So for many years, they call themselves progressives. But what we really see is it is regressive, regressing back 300 plus years to the English crown. So there's nothing progressive about this, Rob Nadelson.
No, there isn't. There isn't. And there are little touches. Along with a lot of other progressive proposals, there are, like, for example, the Green New Deal, there are all kinds of touches throughout it which remind you of fascism. So, for example, I mean, not, obviously the suppression of speech is an example of fascism. If under the terms of this bill, if you get a license from the state, permission from the state, you can sue somebody whose speech you don't like, that you claim it's a conspiracy theory, or you complain it's undermining election integrity, or you claim that it's hate speech. That looks like fascism. The commission that they set up to try cases is intimately tied with the prosecutor, the division. In fact, the commission, which is the trial judge, actually is part of the division, which is the prosecution. Can you believe it or not? Believe it or not. And the commission is chosen partly on two people who are members from the business community. Well, you identify people by economic activity. That's a good example of fascism, because fascism also set up commissions based upon, you know, whether there's somebody's from labor or whether somebody's from business. So it looks most like a return to the old censorship program under the British Crown, but it also has little spices of fascism throughout the bill. Anybody who submits something like this should be permanently disqualified for public office. Now, this particular individual, Senator Donovan, wants to run for Congress, and she got bad press because she wants to run in a district that she doesn't live in, okay? But someone like this shouldn't be elected garbage collector, much less President pro tem of the Senate.
Rob, how did we get here? I find it absolutely astounding that we have gotten to this point where this would even be proposed here in Colorado. And I think that they propose things in Colorado, and we've seen this. This has been the Petri dish. And then if they can get it passed here, they will export it. Now, it may not pass right now, but many times what they do is they keep bringing these things back and back and back until it does pass.
Yeah.
So what's your thoughts about that?
Joshua Phillips made that point on your show the other day, in fact, that often this is just a trial balloon to see what they can get away with. You know, it's really sad to see what Colorado has become. 15 years ago, Colorado was rated by organizations that do these kinds of rating as one of the freest states in the country. The last rating I saw, we were the third freest state in the country. We have become, as a result of the takeover of our legislature by quote progressives, well, we've lost that ranking, let's just put it like that, and it is really sad. Now, how does it occur? Well, you know, I asked the question in my article for the Epoch Times, how does somebody get through the education system, much less become a state senator, much less become president pro tem of the Senate, and not know that this bill is screamingly unconstitutional, that no federal judge, I don't care how liberal he is, It's gonna uphold this law. How does somebody become that way? Part of it, of course, has to do with the public education system. I mean, we encounter it all the time. I go to the meat counter, and I see people behind the meat counter who don't know what an ounce is. They don't know that an ounce is a 16th of a pound. There is a profound ignorance that has been developed throughout the society and, frankly, infects our political class. I mean, people in politics don't know the first thing about what their job is supposed to be and what the limitations are. So, unfortunately, we've got a lot of work to do in America to restore some political and constitutional literacy.
Well, and to that point, there's nothing progressive about this. As you said, this regresses back long before the founding of America. But in our Constitution, there's two things. First of all, there's a trial by jury and also due process. This has a commission, and there is no due process. And so it is blatantly unconstitutional, but it's also terrifying that they would do this. And I mentioned, as in introducing you, that they actually would make this a Class 2 misdemeanor and a $5,000 a day fine if you don't register and pay these fees. I mean, a fee?
That's
really?
Right.
A fee?
And the fees will be set by the division itself, which I would argue is really a violation of Tabor, of the Taxpayer Bill of Rights. I mean, there are all kinds of touches through this bill, as I mentioned earlier, regarding due process. The commission and the division are given power to subpoena witnesses. But if you're accused, you're not given the power to subpoena witnesses. Imagine that. There's no statement as to what the burden of proof is. There is, as I mentioned, permission given to people to sue you based on undefined terms like hate speech. I mean, one of the very basis of due process is the charges that you're accused of have to be defined in the law. Conspiracy theories, hate speech, are not defined in this law. I mean, it just is an amazing piece of work and raises the question of how in the world can people be so ignorant and, frankly, so vicious toward others?
Yes, and if something is a good idea, you shouldn't have to force people not to talk about it. I mean, if something's a good idea, it should be able to stand the muster of public scrutiny and and freedom of speech on that. Now, I think, Rob, this went to the Kill Committee, correct or not? Where's that at right now? Have you been watching
it? Where it is now is it's being turned into a study. So what they're doing, and I think they probably knew that this thing was unconstitutional, but they wanted to save Senator Donovan's face. So they turned it into a study, and I would hope, that it would quickly be interred. I mean, that's usually the fate that happens with things that are sent for studies. The shocking thing is that this would even be proposed by somebody who wants to be a member of Congress.
It is absolutely astounding. And just very quickly before we get over to Jace McBride, the piece that it was published nationally in the Epoch Times, and I'm so pleased that there's the light that's being shown on this. And you said there was a lot of interest throughout the country on your piece.
Oh, yeah. Measured by Facebook shares, the average number of Facebook shares for an article there, a national article, is something like maybe 160. This thing is now standing at 445 Facebook shares, and it's a local article. Local articles usually get about 20. So a lot of people in Colorado have read this article, and a lot of people outside of Colorado have expressed interest in this effort to turn back the clock 327 years and abolish freedom of speech and freedom of press.
Well, Rob Nadelson, thank you so much for shining a light on this very, very bad piece of legislation, and we will stay on top of it. Rob Nadelson, thank you so much for joining the show.
Thanks, Kim. It's been great as always.
Great to talk with you. And freedom of speech, freedom of the press is so important. And what we do on this show is we're an independent voice, and we look for truth and clarity. And one of the reasons that we get to do this is because of my great partners. And one of those is on the line right now, and that is Jace McBride. He's a senior VP with Presidential Wealth Management. Jason, can you believe that right here in Colorado, we would have a state senator who wants to run for Congress that wants to shut down people's voices, freedom of the press? It's astounding to me, Jason.
Boy, Kim, you know, I mean, if you'd asked me 10 years ago, I would have said it's astounding. These days, it seems to just be kind of par for the course or an everyday occurrence, and very little that the Democrats try to pull these days that I could say surprises or shocks me.
And this Democrat Party is no longer the party of JFK or Harry Truman. This is actually, this is a party that is espousing Marxist methods, Marxist policies. You see that in the Senate Bill 132. What about our markets? I haven't been paying much attention. I know that they're at extreme highs. It may be a good idea for people to do a little portfolio check, a risk check, how their tummy feels if the market would happen to have a significant downturn. Where are we at right now?
Well, it's the Dow and NASDAQ, they're behaving a little bit differently still, Kim. You know, on Friday, the market spent most of the day doing pretty well and then had a really nice upward burst towards the end of the day. The Dow ended up about 450 points. That move plus a decent move the day before made up for some downs that we had seen over the previous 3 or 4 days. Now, the NASDAQ also had a pretty good day on Friday. It was up 160. But, you know, again, the volume was less than the previous day. NASDAQ is still trading below its 50-day moving average, so yeah, we'd like to see it get back above there to look a little bit more healthy. And again, you know, when you get a big up day like this, you'd like to see commensurate volume come along with it to show that the big buys, big boys are really in there buying, you know, with alacrity.
Well, and to that point, I think it's a good idea for people. It's always good to buy low, sell high. Now, you can never hit typically the exact high, but if you can get in that top 10, 20%, it's normally good. And you don't have to sell everything. I would recommend that people sit down because there's different things out there that people can do, correct?
Well, there absolutely is, Kim. You know, there are innovative ways and to, you know, eliminate at least some of your downside risk and still, you know, have some decent upside as well. And I've had a lot of folks come in recently and clients that are concerned about just that. They don't want to be completely out of the market, but they're afraid to be completely in it. So we do have solutions for that and many other problems.
And how can people reach you, Jason McBride?
Best way is just give us a call, Kim. That's 303-694-1600, 303-694-1600.
Jason, thanks so much. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Have a great show, Kim.
And we'll be right back.
Home ownership and private property rights help you build wealth for you and your family. RE/MAX Alliance award-winning realtor Karen Levine understands this. Supply is super tight right now. This is why you need a seasoned professional with excellent negotiating skills on your side of the table, whether buying or selling an existing home or buying a new build. As a member of the National Association of Realtors Board of Directors, Karen Levine volunteers hours of her time to help you build your American dream. Call her today at 303-877-7516. Again, that's 303-877-7516.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com. And thank you to each and every one of you who are contributing to keep our independent voice out there. We're looking for truth and clarity on these issues. And today is our health and hydrocarbon show. Fossil fuels, the abundant, reliable, efficient, and affordable energy has been a key pillar for human success, for human flourishing. And it's important that we understand that. There's been a real assault on fossil fuels, and that's why we do this show. And on the line with me is Tom Petrie. He's with Petrie Partners, which is an oil and gas investment banking firm. Tom Petrie, welcome to the show.
Hi, Kim. Good to be here.
A lot has happened since the last time you and I had a conversation. And Joe Biden has been inaugurated, and producer Steve and I just keep a very layman's watching of what energy prices are doing. And I think that right by the gas station, by the studio, our fuel prices are up almost 40% since Biden's inauguration. This hurts people. What's going on, Tom Petrie?
Well, you know, from the get-go, Joe Biden took some actions. He seems to be motivated by trying to undo everything he thinks President Trump did that in energy and in other areas, but I'll stick to energy. And that decision on the XL pipeline was a rash and reckless decision, in my opinion. And the decision to defer drilling on federal lands and permits for development of federal lands followed it up. People are still wondering whether the Dakota Access Pipeline might be next on the docket for negative action. This is an administration, from what I can tell, that doesn't seem to either care or know how to look at second-order effects of policy changes. And if that's the case, and so far the evidence would suggest it is, we're in for a bumpy time, because the second-order consequences of overdoing renewable energy have to be looked at as well, And it's not the panacea that some represent it to be.
Well, and Patty had found a headline that the American Petroleum Institute is looking at, and I think changing their stand on carbon taxes. And a carbon tax is one of the, on the wish list of the World Economic Forum, a taxing carbon. And I mentioned it, affordable, reliable, efficient, and abundant energy is something that helps people thrive and prosper. And to actually tax something that makes that happen is a bit of a head scratcher to me, Tom Petrie.
Well, it can be, and it is. This is one that may well have broader support than we in the industry like. But there are some companies, and you know, even Exxon is on record as supporting a carbon tax. Partly, I think, because carbon tax is likely to bring home some of the truths you talk about, which is it will increase energy prices, and in the process, people will come to and maybe take less for granted what attractively priced hydrocarbons are all about.
I was talking with someone just recently that had traveled extensively throughout the world, and she said that she had been in China and had gotten up in the morning that they were like on the 28th floor of a hotel and open up the curtains to, there was a round ball in the sky, and she thought it was the sun, but the pollution was so heavy there that you could hardly see through it. And my understanding is that China, which is a big polluter, is building coal-fired plants there because people want energy. And here we're using policy to shut down those coal-fired plants to try to shut down our energy industry. But yet other countries, they realize that this energy is what really drives production. What's going on with that? It just doesn't make sense to me that we would try to shut down our industries while China is over there building these plants.
This is going to be one of the big challenges for this administration. There are certain areas on climate change where they want to cooperate, and there'll be discussions. There's no doubt in my mind there may well be discussions, but they're going to find whatever gets represented in those discussions, and I call them discussions because I have real doubts that they're real negotiations, and I have even greater doubts that they'll perform in those negotiations any better than they did when we saw the trade negotiations become a trade-light non-compliance with what they agreed to with the Trump administration on buying U.S. and then actually buying less and having all kinds of reasons why they couldn't adhere to what they agreed to do. This is going to be an ongoing challenge. This morning, we're already seeing very powerful negative actions taken against some of the companies, Nike and H&M and some others, who have spoken out against the treatment of the Uyghurs. And when you look at the lecturing that the U.S. chose to endure at that meeting on U.S. soil in Alaska from the Chinese leaders, it really is necessary to recognize that we're in an economic confrontation. I won't call it a war, but I'd say a confrontation. And it's going to take some hard-nosed, serious thinking about this. Now, we have seen, the most recent indication is that the lifting of tariffs that were imposed by President Trump is not going to happen as quickly as they were thinking in the Biden administration. And I think that's a tit-for-tat, if you will, on the treatment of the U.S. ambassador's negotiating team, him and his team, in Alaska. Let's hope some realism comes to bear, but what you're talking about is a good example of the lack of realism and the complete thwarting of the kinds of cooperation that the World Trade Organization represents and that attempts at addressing climate change are going to be confronting as they deal with the Chinese, where the Chinese attitude is, you've done very well in past years. You need to cut us lots of slack. during this period while we're developing. And either there is or isn't going to be a basis for cooperation if that continues to be their view.
Tom Petrie, I'm concerned about everyday hardworking Americans. What this is going to do, I think a lot of people don't understand that these policies are ultimately going to affect our ability to thrive and flourish and do the things that we want with for our families and our jobs. I'm very concerned about that, Tom Petrie.
Well, I think we have to be because, it goes to what I said at the beginning. When you make policy changes, one of the most important elements in making an effective judgment is understanding what else is going to be triggered by policy changes. The XL pipeline is Canadian operated. It was being Canadian built 2 days before, actually 1 day before, I believe, early in the administration, the Canadian company and representatives of Canada came down and offered to negotiate on what they would do to be supportive of climate change initiatives that they thought would be important to this president. But the quid pro quo was going to be, this is a project that's already been approved, it's underway, it is more effective than you realize, and it's going to have adverse consequences. The following day, the president ignored everything that was offered and chose to just simply discard it. China's going to be an important ally of the U.S. I'm sorry, Canada's going to be an important ally of the U.S. in dealing with China. And that is that degree of cooperation that we need is not being favorably impacted when you ignore an attempt to have a cooperative agreement with your neighbor with the longest border between any two countries in the world. So I think we've got something that is, I should have said one of the longest. I mean, I think it's the longest, but it may not be quite, it may be one of two. In any case, we're in for a challenging time. Disruptions are going to be important. This, while it's encouraging today to hear that maybe that blockage of Suez Canal is going to open up, even that has second-order consequences. One, in the near term, it's been favorable for oil prices. A little farther down the road, it may become a test for OPEC's discipline for those who are unable to get their tankers to market in a timely way and where they're trying to make up for lost sales and disrupted deliveries. So a lot of that is going to be, I think, between now and the midterm election, we're going to have a lot of reasons to be able to judge how effective this administration is showing a learning curve on its assessment of second-order adverse consequences of this ideologically driven fear of climate change.
Well, and Tom Petrie, on the canceling of the XL pipeline, not only did many Americans lose their jobs, but this had to be a big economic blow to Canada. Now, they're going to want to get their oil production. They're going to want to get it to some market. If they can't use the XL pipeline, are they going to build something to the West Coast, and will that go to China? What does your crystal ball say about that, Tom Petrie?
Well, there's some big challenges for them on that, but it certainly incentivizes them to make another effort at that. The attempts so far to move large volumes of oil to the west coast of Canada have been thwarted by the First Nations, where they're looking for a bigger piece of the economic pie in that. But this may well be the catalyst that causes renewed efforts to do just what you said. In the total scheme of things, there are second-order consequences to that. But the real key is the natural market for their oil is south to the U.S. and not west so much to the Pacific Rim. But you can't rule out the possibility that that's how it will unfold. And that will diminish the U.S.-Canadian alliance in dealing with a whole lot of other issues, humanitarian and economic, with China.
Oh, my gosh. It's very concerning to me, Tom Petrie. We're going to go to break. I have Tom Petrie on the line, and he is with Petrie Partners. It's an oil and gas investment banking firm, and he really understands all of these markets. So we're going to go to break. When we come back, I'd like to talk with him about what happened down with the big Texas freeze, because we realized that, I mean, it was an economic problem. People died from what happened down there with the wind turbines freezing up and with there being snow on the solar panels. Like to see what he has to say about that. Before we do that, though, Castlegate Knife and Tool is another one of my great sponsors. They're a family-owned business. They're located right here in Sedalia, Colorado. They have knives from the best blade makers from throughout the world. So whether or not you are a chef or a collector or a sportsman, Castlegate Knife and Tool is the place for you. And all of our veterans, our active military and first responders get a 10% discount all day, every day at Castlegate Knife and Tool. Go to castlegate.com for more information. That's castlegate.com. We will be right back with Tom Petrie.
Controlling your own destiny. There are a lot of unknowns on the horizon with the new administration. Predovich & Company is here to help. Trusted professionals for all your bookkeeping, tax planning, and accounting needs. Kim Munson highly recommends Predovich & Company. They've been helping her for years. Because of their advanced technological capabilities, Predovich & Company works with clients from anywhere in the United States. Give them a call at 303-791-3000 to put Predovich & Company to work for you. Call 303-791-3000 today.
Would you have ever dreamed that freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of assembly, and freedom of religion would be under assault and attack in America? Unbelievably, it is happening right before our eyes. That is why it is important to keep free-thinking, independent voices on the airwaves, the internet, and social media. Kim Munson is one of those important voices. Help her keep independence alive. Go to KimMunson.com to contribute, to join Kim in the battle of ideas raging in America today. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at Kim at Kim Munson as well. And thank you to each and every one of you who are contributing to keep our independent voice out there and on the airways as we look for truth and clarity on these issues. This is our Health and Hydrocarbon Show. And my friends, we have very healthy lives because of hydrocarbons. You think about it, we're in warm houses, we have freedom of mobility, just so many blessings that we take for granted because of hydrocarbons, and there's been a real assault on that. But reliable, efficient, affordable, and abundant energy is one of the things that has contributed for everyday people to thrive and prosper. Of course, we see this push for, quote-unquote, the Green New Deal. But we saw down in Texas what can happen when the wind turbines freeze up and the solar panels have snow on them. I mean, it was devastating down there, Tom Petrie, and we have not talked about that. What's your thoughts about the mess down in Texas with that Texas freeze?
It's a real lesson in what the problem of intermittency is all about. And intermittency basically turns on the availability, the limited availability of renewable energy under certain stress conditions. And that means you have to have stored energy or have another source of energy that can be quickly made available. And you have to be able to do it in scale. Texas is one of the biggest producers of wind energy. And when that storm hit, they didn't have enough of a solution for alternative energy, even though they have lots of other energy. One of the better solutions is natural gas, frankly, but within the Biden calculation, natural gas is almost as bad as oil, even though the chemistry says it's not as bad as oil. It's the superior chemistry, if you will, in terms of lower carbon content. This is a big, big issue, and I think the Wall Street Journal captured it very well. They had a headline and an editorial, the title of which was something like "More Green Blackouts Ahead." If we don't, and it's, in essence, they were saying, if we don't learn our lesson from what just happened, and the point is that there's a notion, and I think there's a very shallow analysis going on in Washington today, where they don't realize that that trying to go to unreasonably high amounts of renewable energy puts you in a position where intermittency problems will crop up time and time again. And some people say, oh, don't worry, battery technology will get better. When battery technology gets better, everything will be hunky-dory. Well, we're finding that battery technology, while there are improvements, doing that on scale is a real test. And it's very unlikely that it'll get that'll solve the intermittency problem, I would say, in the next decade or the next two decades. That's beyond my planning horizon, so I can't speak to what it'll be after the mid-century. But to get from here to mid-century in a competitive world with the kind of economic challenges we face with China, we'd better be showing a learning curve on what the intermittency problem is all about. And I don't see that happening. It's another second-order consequence of overdoing the pursuit of renewable energy without realizing it'll actually make us more vulnerable to disruptions that we don't control.
Well, and I think everyday people trust that politicians and bureaucrats, that they have our best interest in mind, and that they're doing the old Boy Scout or Girl Scout motto to be prepared. And we realize that that is not the case with what happened down in Texas. One other thing that I don't think that we have an honest conversation about, and that is batteries. First of all, there is some toxic components within a battery. So getting rid of those, we haven't really talked about how do we get rid of old batteries. And also there's a rare earth mining of different things that go into batteries. And there just doesn't seem to be an honest conversation about that, Tom Petrie.
You're exactly right. That was really where I was headed with what I said before. There's now analysis being done on what the mining of rare earths is all about, and the amount of other earth that's moved has powerful disruptive effects. It's ironic that so many underinformed activists on the environmental front are looking the other way, or looking with a blind eye to the kind of disruptions necessary to achieve the kind of goals that they're putting forth when they talk about going to an all-electric economy in the transportation mode. That really exacerbates the problem. The disruption of that mining, and there have been studies done that the disruptions to the earth from that mining is a multiple-fold greater than the disruptions of the conventional fossil fuel business. So the notion of all of the above and a variety of energy sources and the importance of that is being underestimated, in my view, by the current policymakers that are in power in Washington.
Okay, Tom Petrie, we have just a couple of minutes left. What do you think everyday people should be doing right now? Because I see if these policies continue on that we will see a significant change in our quality of life. What should people be doing?
They need to look critically and with a healthy skepticism at some of the policy changes that are going to be coming down the pike. I think there's a real chance that there'll be an initiative on a carbon tax. The Secretary of the Treasury, Janet Yellen, has been quoted as being in favor of that. So I think that's one that's coming. We're going to have to see whether they really are thinking broadly and honestly about the second-order effects of some of the policies that they have. If everything is looked at through the filter of we want to reduce fossil fuels and they are not really assessing how much fossil fuels are really part of the problem versus an overall assessment of whatever they think the solution is, there's going to be a systemic reduction in economic growth. I almost use the word systemic impoverishment. It has to run a while for it to become that, but the healthy thing for consumers, everybody listening to the show, is to really examine how effectively new policies that are being recommended have been really assessed, and the early returns on that from decisions made here just in the first 3 months, of the less than 3 months of this administration, more like 2 months, the early returns do not suggest a well-developed learning curve from misjudgments.
Tom Petrie, the way that you say that, a well-determined learning curve, I think you said, I'm very concerned that those that are in power right now in Washington have not really looked at it, as you mentioned, the second effects of what will happen. Tom Petrie, I so appreciate your perspective and from your years in the oil and gas investment banking business. Thank you so much. And we want to make sure that we're putting in policies where everyday people can thrive and prosper. Tom Petrie, thank you.
Thanks, Kim.
Okay, my friends, today our quote is from Benjamin Franklin. We were talking about freedom of the press, freedom of speech. And Benjamin Franklin said this. He said, "Whoever would overthrow the liberty of a nation must begin by subduing the freeness of speech." So my friends, today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you, and God bless America.
Through the mountains climbing, twisting, turning further from my home. Young, like a new moon rising, fierce. Through the rain and lightning, wandering out into this great unknown. And I don't want no one to cry.